Henrique, mané! I'm not gonna even pretend to know the words. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you can even... I understand that this is offensive, but I used to be like, I'm a beast in my bar. And then, like, instead of going like, Hen Kenya, or whatever they say, I used to be like, Zimbabwe. Because I don't know what actually is happening. But I know it's an African country, so.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
You know what? You do you. You do you,
Josh. Zimbabwe.
I don't speak...
Swahili? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Swahili.
I don't speak Swahili, but, I mean, that song is fire. So.
But actually, it's been fire since I was, like, four.
Also, I learned that last episode I said that a song claps, and apparently it's a song slaps.
Oh.
And so I don't even know the lingo.
Well, I mean, I don't either. So you can, you know what? You can be hip with the kids nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the old guy in my old town. I said old town, and then I thought about
old
taking my
road.
Horses out to the back, and I couldn't. I couldn't.
In the back.
I can't stop. We're already doing too much. We're doing too much. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Subject Tonight. I'm Josh.
I'm Megan.
And today we're here to talk to you about The Lion King,
the new adaptation.
No, obviously we're talking about the classic, Megan.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I can talk a lot about the classic.
I mean,
there are
a lot of questions
that I have. I love The Lion King, but there are so many questions.
I agree.
There are lots of questions.
But we can talk about that. But you're right. We are talking about the recent remake that we have. I'm not calling it live action because there were actually no live lions involved in the making of this film.
There were no live anythings involved in the making of that film.
Absolutely not.
Was a live computer.
Live computer action.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah. I was getting real pissed as I was like, because obviously they're doing like this kick of like live action Disney remakes, starting with like Beauty and the Beast or whatever.
Oh yeah, it was Beauty and the Beast started.
But fucking I started flipping my shit because like, no, those aren't real lions. This is not like live action lions. They just look realistic because everything else has been live action. Get your fucking facts straight, people.
Now, I will say, before we ever get any of this started, though, like, I'm a huge fan of their casting.
Okay.
You weren't?
I am not going to say anything until we start the actual discussion.
Okay.
But, before we get into that, you know what time it is. Boop, 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 boop. So, I want to go first because mine's really simple.
Okay.
But, you know me, I like titles. Driver tries to avoid ticket by using red sports drink as taillight.
Well, that's really using the noggin there.
Yeah. The Colorado police pulled over this guy because he replaced his broken taillight with a red sports drink. And it's just, like, details about, like, how they stopped him. But they didn't ticket him because he was on his way to get the car repaired, but he didn't have any tape.
True.
Well, it says he was seen repairing his car later that day, so I don't know. Apparently, they followed up or whatever. I have no clue exactly how this works. But the main, like, police person on the scene was like, while we appreciate the ingenuity of this tail light, it is not a permanent solution. And yeah, that's really all. It's just information about exactly where it happened. It was in Colorado.
Well, Colorado people, way to be artsy. I'm just saying, we haven't had a lot of things for artsy people lately, but you know what? This Colorado guy is giving you all the credit that you need.
But actually.
Red sports drinks.
Red sports drinks as tail lights.
So mine is something that I'm probably going to have to post to Instagram for you guys to see because it's weird. But
yeah, this is weird news.
Yeah, it's weird news. So the caption says, "Hail Cthulhu! Twitter users mock GOP convention's logo's weird design." which is what I have to post for you guys to be able to see it, unless you guys just want to go Google the GOP logo right now. So the logo for the National Convention in Charlotte is what we're talking about. And the best way that I can describe it is it looks like an elephant with 5 stars on its belly being surrounded by Cthulhu in the background.
Okay, now show me what I did. You know. I see it.
You can't unsee it once you see it.
I see it.
So people on Twitter are aflame right now.
Doesn't take a whole lot these days.
Yeah, it just says, bold of them to straight up put Cthulhu behind the elephant. and then this guy's my favorite. It says, so the GOP's 2020 logo is an elephant riddled with bullets from the spawn of Trump, trumpeting out a last warning to others as Cthulhu rises up behind it to bring madness to the world. and then another one is, why the hell is your logo Cthulhu eating a baby star elephant? Hashtag marketing fail.
Baby star elephant.
Yeah. Is that Cthulhu behind the elephant? Because that's pretty on brand. let me see here. Yeah, I mean, just a bunch of vote Cthulhu is now hashtagging on, or not hashtag, trending on Twitter.
You know, hey, there are a lot of people who voted for Harambe in this last election. I wonder how many people might vote Cthulhu.
I mean, I'll vote for Cthulhu. Cthulhu.
You vote for who?
Cthulhu. Our Lord and Master.
Our Lord and Savior.
All hail Cthulhu. No, but that's my weird news, is that the Republicans are now getting behind Cthulhu, apparently. So watch out, 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to put that on social media shortly after this airs, so that way
we can see it. You guys can let us
know. And from my glance at it, it absolutely looks just a little odd. I don't know what they were going for there, but it definitely looks like elephant / tentacles.
I think they were going for maybe like a crown.
How?
Where? Like that's the like the billowy part of the crown, and then that's supposed to be like a gem or something. I don't
see
it. I'm trying
to
give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Nah, it just looks weird and awful.
So, anyway, so that was it for weird news. Boop 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 boop
boop boop boop. So, I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
And I have tried, in preparation for this episode, I have tried hard to make my thoughts succinct because I don't want to keep you here forever. But I want you to go first.
Okay, so I took my nieces and nephew to go see Lion King.
Okay.
So you have to know ahead of time, I was already in a childhood-like environment.
Right.
Because I was with them. And I'm cool Aunt Megan that does cool Aunt Megan things, like take them to see Lion King at 9 o'clock at night when they're supposed to be in bed at 9 o'clock at night kind of thing. Like,
okay.
So
cool Aunt Megan.
Yes, I'm already cool Aunt Megan. So maybe that had something to do with the fact that I loved the movie. Except for a couple parts. There were a few parts where I was like, no.
I know, but we're going to agree on one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we know exactly which one that is just from looking at each other right now. But I would agree. I also think that it's a good movie experience. Great movie experience. I mean, it's The Lion King.
Yeah.
I feel like there are ways to fuck that up. But I feel like in this day and age, Lion King is such a like beloved story that they would not have done it, or they would not have released it if it didn't do the original story justice.
Yeah.
So it's still, and I told this to everybody that I talked to, like, before I tell you any of the things that I think are wrong with it, it's still a good movie. Still definitely watch it.
Yes.
Still definitely
watch
it.
Please go watch it. It is so good. Like, it's worth your money to go see it.
And the opening cinematic is literally shot for shot from the original movie.
I had goosebumps. I looked over at Jesse and I was like, oh, oh, right now. Come on. Come on. Now, my youngest, he's my only nephew. But my youngest nephew, Tyson, I don't think he'd ever seen The Lion King.
I wouldn't be surprised if he hadn't.
Because he's only 5. So I... There's a part in the movie, and I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, because it is still a relatively new-ish movie out there, and if you haven't seen it, I want you to be able to go see it.
So hang on. If you haven't seen it yet, stop this right now. Obviously, what are you even doing listening to this episode?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it. So stop right now.
Are we just going spoiler-heavy this episode?
Well, I see no reason not to.
Okay.
So here, I'm gonna give you... We're gonna do like a 5-second pause. We're gonna... if you haven't seen it, I want you to stop right now. And don't come back to this episode until you've seen the movie. Because this is all we're going to talk about. There's not even going to be like a hidden nugget of anything else. We may end up talking about like the original Lion King. But even then, that's still kind of spoilers for the new version if you still haven't seen it. Regardless, I'm going to give you 5 seconds right now. Starting right now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, if you're still here, you can't complain about spoilers. So... you were talking.
So
you
were in the middle of something. And it's
Tyson.
Yes, and it's the part where they start singing Be Our Guest. And the whole theater is just cracking up. And Tyson goes really loud once it starts calming down, goes, haha, it's funny because they're going to die.
Bless his heart.
I love him so much.
Bless his heart.
Like, oh, I don't think he's seen Beating the Beast. I don't think he's seen Lion King, which is just bad parenting on my brother's behalf.
I mean, they are classics for a reason.
It's true. But yeah, so that was my fun Lion King experience. I think that's part of the reason that I liked it so much is because it's like, it was a memory for me.
Yeah.
So
it was a new version of something that you've held near and dear to your heart and your mind for like literally your whole life.
Yes.
So like it's really surreal actually with all these remakes because they're remakes of movies that I still hold near and dear to my heart right now. And so I'm actually incredibly glad that they're choosing to remake these movies, especially given the fact that when they do, they normally give some additional thought to things that weren't as easy to digest back in the day. Like how the way the servants were treated and how they actually operated was expanded upon in the Beauty and the Beast remake.
Yeah.
Because that's not something you ever actually understand. Like they're just cursed too.
Yeah.
Like there's no reasoning or explanation there as to how or why that happens, nor do you get to see them as humans. So like,
which I thought that was really, really good on the Beating the Beast.
Absolutely. And there's a couple aspects of the actual like nature of Belle being the Beast's captive that we just kind of glossed over in the original movie that were actually addressed the second time. We didn't talk about that. We're not talking about that movie. But like,
that's a good example of a live-action adaptation done very well.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen this movie 50 million times. We know what people have a problem with. Let's address those while we remake this movie. Like, and I don't think that The Lion King does that with everything, but it does it with enough things that I feel like it can be considered its own movie experience.
Yeah.
Separate from the original. So, and that's my general thought on most of these remakes. Other than Beauty and the Beast, I feel like you should just watch the new one. You don't need to go back and watch the old one. Just watch the new one. But with most, like Aladdin, for example, because I don't think we really talked about Aladdin, did we? I feel like if you treat both Aladdin's as different movie experiences, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
But you can't go to new Aladdin expecting it to be old Aladdin because Robin Williams isn't there.
No.
And that's a big thing.
If you treat it as a totally separate movie, though, I thought Will Smith nailed it for his version of the genie.
Because he did. It was so good. He has a lot like Robin Williams. Will Smith, again, we're not even talking about this movie, but a lot like, we didn't actually talk about it before, so we'll just put a brief snippet in here before we get into the Lion King. Will Smith has a lot of natural charisma like Robin Williams does. He's just not as, like, outwardly funny.
Yeah.
So I think that they absolutely made the genie. Because, again, I don't know if we talked about this beforehand or not, but in the creation of the movie, Aladdin, like, the character of the genie was created for Robin Williams.
Yeah.
As a thing. That's why he fits in there so well, because he's literally just being himself mm-hmm. and being very fun and all the things that we love about Robin Williams. And so, as such, when they changed a couple of the things about how it works, like, they just made the character more apt to be like Will Smith, and I think that that's great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Will Smith is doing anything that he doesn't normally do, and it's very clear that he had a lot of fun playing that role.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a very enjoyable experience for the audience, because you can see that he's having fun, you're having fun with him.
Now, on The Lion King, I have said before, I thought that the casting was phenomenal. Aside from Seth Rogen, I did not like Seth Rogen. This is a musical. He can't sing at all.
I think that that's a fair assessment.
And I'm not saying that Pumbaa in the original had the best voice, but it wasn't cringy. And I felt that Seth Rogen was very cringy when he was trying to sing. Because the one thing I will say that I noticed, that I hope that you noticed too, is there was very little auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
In the entire movie with yeah. the entire cast. So, I mean, they were just letting it be raw.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that adds a certain something to it for Pumbaa's character, but I just wanted something more out of Pumbaa other than cringy singing.
So on that same token, and I know that I will have shaken a hornet's nest by saying this.
Oh no, you're not gonna talk about Beyonce, are you?
I am gonna talk
about
Beyonce.
Oh no, don't talk about, don't.
I can't.
Josh.
I can't, do we need to stop the recording?
Yeah, we're gonna lose lots of listeners if you start doing this.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying that Beyonce was bad. By no means am I saying that Beyonce was bad. But Beyonce is a singer,
mm-hmm.
right? She's a performer, we know this. So all the times in which she's performing are great. But I feel like a lot of her speaking scenes leave at least a little to be desired.
Yes, and I will say, one of the parts that made me most cringy in the entire movie is when she's talking and she's trying to get all the lions on her side against,
like,
Scar.
Lions, are you with me?
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Like, why? Why are you saying it like that? But that's a writing problem. That's not necessarily a her problem.
No, I think that that's a her problem.
You really
because
do?
She's not really an actress. She's a singer.
Yeah.
And if you think about all the movies that she's been in, she's a performer in them.
Yeah.
Like, literally all she's ever had to do in a movie is what she already does.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a different dynamic associated with it when you can see her body language, because she's really good at that. That's what makes her a good performer.
Yeah.
But that's not something that just naturally exists in a voice.
That's true.
So, like, I'm not even saying that her performance was bad. It was just like why did you choose that? Like,
yeah.
why is that really what you wanted to go with?
It
that's not it, Chief.
More to be desired.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that I know that that's like the hottest take, because everybody's like, Beyonce's in the movie, it's wonderful. And I'm definitely not trying to get assassinated by the beehive, but, like, I'm kind of a movie snob. I'll admit it myself.
Yeah.
I went into this with no expectations. That way I didn't get any sort of, like, this wasn't as good as the original nonsense going on. But I just, like, I don't think that her in that role was bad. I just wish there was less of her talking.
Yeah.
That's really all. That was it. Donald Glover is a fucking fantastic Simba. The person
yes,
they
is.
Got to play young Simba and young Nala were also fantastically
great.
On point. But that's actually one of my core problems with the movie. Like, Lion King, as a movie, is actually a very sad and depressing story. But one of the things that sells it when you watch the original are facial expressions. They are fucking everywhere. Because it's animated. You can do whatever you want with that. But when you make everything look realistic, they just look like lions. And lions just have a fucking lion face.
They just have a face.
And so with the exception of, like, situations where they're laughing or they're doing anything with their mouth open, that's really the only time they're expressing emotion in their face. They tried to do it with the rest of their body in a lot of situations, but I feel like the realism was a bit too much there.
Yeah.
And the movie would have benefited greatly from some slight exaggerations in facial movements and in body posture.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest qualm. Well, my second biggest qualm, because we'll get to the first one in a minute, because I'm pretty sure you know what it is. But yeah, that was kind of the thing that just kind of grated me while I was watching the whole thing, was that it's just like I wish they were just a bit more expressive.
Yeah.
Because they just sit there and look like lions, and lions aren't very expressive.
The one thing I will say that kind of killed me just a little bit, was after Mufasa's death, when he climbs underneath him and is cuddling with him.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. That smacked you right in the feels. Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
You don't need emotions on their faces to tell that
she's
hurting.
With that, absolutely not. Body language is all you need for that.
Yeah.
And most of the body language was absolutely on point. I just feel like it would have been sold better if it was also in the face.
Yeah.
But no, like from a movement perspective, everything was great with the exception of Timon. Timon didn't need to actually look like a meerkat or do meerkat things. Freak me right the fuck out. Like, I don't need him popping up and doing that weird, like, meerkat turn. And no. Timon's not a fucking meerkat.
Like, what is he?
No, he is an actual meerkat in regards to that. But, like, he doesn't need to actually look and act like a meerkat. Timon is just a little dude. Make him just a little fucking dude. We didn't need that shit. Another thing that kind of irked me was that so many, and this is actually not a problem with the movie, that so many people didn't understand what a warthog actually fucking looks like.
Yeah.
And so they went into that expecting that warthog to look like Timon and not an ugly fucking warthog.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, but that's what he actually looks like, though. Like, but that's what he actually looks like. You can't get mad at that.
You can't.
That's what warthogs actually look like. You've seen the realistic lion faces, motherfucker. Why would they not get a realistic looking fucking warthog? Get your shit out of here.
Okay, so the one thing that I appreciated is as a kid, hell, as an adult, when they're singing Hakuna Matata and Pumbaa goes on his little spiel about how he gets downhearted and he's like, how did you feel every time that I... And then he cuts him off.
Like, yeah, not in front of the kids.
And I never knew what he was about to say. And in this movie, they don't cut him off.
And then I think the funniest part is he references that. Oh, you weren't going to stop me this time? No, no.
No,
you're good.
No, you're good. But I finally figured out what he was referencing. And yeah. I was like, thank you. It only took me 27 years.
To learn this line in this one song. Well, what else rhymes with downhearted that he's talking about?
I don't know. It just never occurred
That never occurred to,
me. To
you? That was never a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Every time that I shit my brains out, I don't know. It could have been.
Okay.
It could have been.
Okay.
That's why you can't do it in front of the kids.
I love you, Megan. So now that we have kind of eased into this discussion, I feel like I can tell you about my biggest problem with this movie.
Okay, I'm ready because I want to see if it's the same.
So, you know that for me, or at least you should, I'm assuming you do, but you should know for me that villains are a big thing.
Yes.
I really like villains.
Okay, yes.
So, my biggest issue with the movie was Be Prepared.
Be Prepared, yeah.
Because it didn't exist. Like, it basically just didn't happen. But I will say that Scar's acting... phenomenal.
Scar's voice.
Phenomenal. Scar's presence in scene.
Phenomenal.
Like, everything about Scar is everything I would have wanted from that character. And it was saving the movie for me up until Be Prepared.
Like, why would, out of every song that you could cut, and then they put in a little Beyonce song halfway through when they're running back. I don't even remember what it was about.
It was just a Beyonce song, so they could have an original. Being Beyonce.
I'm sorry, you don't scrap Be Prepared for an original that no one cares about.
So, like, it was starting. Like, you heard the drums in the background, yeah, and the hyenas were gathering around Scar. And I didn't expect it to be like the original, because, like, he's jumping on the rocks, and there's, like, that fucking green Disney villain, yeah, smoke, because every Disney villain is green for some reason. But, like, that's a, like, he's, like, jumping around, and there's somehow, like, a giant canyon that they're in or whatever. I wasn't expecting that. They did the same thing that makes sense with I Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah.
Now, like, in the actual fucking movie, that shit's an acid trip. Like, yeah. None of that makes any actual logical sense. Yeah, and like, he's like, Simba and Nala are like bouncing off of like fucking giraffe necks and shit. Like, I didn't expect that to be a thing. And I think that the way in which they went about keeping that same youthful playfulness was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so my brain's like, he's just gonna do shit around the elephant graveyard, and like, the hyenas are just gonna like come out of hiding and like rally behind Scar. They're literally his army. He referenced them as his army.
Yeah.
In this movie, which is basically what they were before. But like, that's fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was dope. And then he said a few words, and then Be Prepared. And then they ended. And I was like, what? Where's my song? Excuse me? That's
and
it?
The few lines that he did sing were so on point. And once again, they required no auto-tune. So like, you had a talented artist at your disposal, and you wasted him.
Well, I mean, no, it wasn't a waste. Be Prepared was a waste.
Yeah.
I would have rather they actually cut the entire song and just ended the scene before the song started than give me that bullshit piece of a song,
yeah,
that pissed me right the fuck off.
I just think it's too important of a song for them to have cut.
Like,
I don't...
The Disney villain songs are just as important as, like, the triumphant songs in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Like, that is a villain being their most villainous and enjoying the act of being a villain, yeah, that is what makes Disney villains good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily need to be redeemable. That's why most modern Disney movies don't even have an actual villain, because like, the idea of the old school Disney villain is apparently now bad for some reason or another. Like, I just want old school Maleficent. Just be fucking evil.
Right?
For no actual reason other than the fact that you are fucking evil.
But instead, they gave her, like, a Wicked vibe where they were like, well, how did she become evil?
I don't need that shit. I don't need that. That's not what I need. I don't care about any of that. I just want...
Scar
Wicked.
In the movie.
I just wanted wickedness. Because that is what makes a Disney villain.
Yep.
Like, I've recently done a lot of research in regards to, like, characters and, like, character arcs and like changing throughout a story, and there are a couple of like, so I'm gonna use Dragon Ball,
okay,
and Dragon Ball Z for this, because I feel like you understand these characters,
yeah,
and they're one of the best ways to illustrate my point. So like Goku, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goku the character, it's like a lovable idiot, and like he's literally Goku the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment you first meet him in like the beginning of the Dragon Ball series till the end of Dragon Ball Super, Goku is the same fucking character.
Yeah.
And his goal isn't to change as a character, it's to change the world around him. That's how that type of story works. There's a lot of characters that have been seen like him throughout lots of different anime. Naruto's another good example. Like, Naruto is the same fucking character, he just has more powers. as he goes through the series and like maybe cares about a few more things, but like Naruto at his core is always the same, and his goal in the story is to change the world around him, whereas there are other characters who go through like either positive or negative change throughout the course of a story. Vegeta is the example of a positive change arc,
yeah,
where someone starts off either in a bad situation or holding like negative beliefs. Like, obviously he was a villain when he was first introduced. And through his interaction with Goku, like the unbreakable wall of goodness. Like, he then passes a threshold and becomes a good guy.
Yeah.
So, like, that's positive change, right? That same thing exists in villain form. And that's the, like, it's called, like, the flat character arc when someone's, like, either always good or always bad. And the example of always bad that Dragon Ball uses is Frieza.
Yeah.
Frieza is just an evil motherfucker for no real reason other than the fact that he's an evil motherfucker. And he enjoys doing that shit. And I enjoy seeing it because he loves doing it. That's what makes it good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't need anybody with, like, fucking redeemable reasons for doing the shit that they're doing. Like, I just need you to be an antagonist and be a good antagonist and fucking love the shit you're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you're loving it, we're loving it as an audience. And be prepared. I mean, Scar doesn't really change throughout the whole course of the movie. He's literally just the same character who is in different stages of power.
Yeah.
But, like, be prepared was his moment to just fucking be Scar.
Because
in many other situations, he can't actually say the shit that we know he's thinking. He can't actually do any of the things that we know he wants to do because he doesn't have the ability to. There are people in his way, like Mufasa or Simba or whoever else at the time. And so these villain songs are normally the time in which we get to see, like, these villains, like, lay out either their plans or their aspirations or what have you, but they get to be absolutely villainous.
Yeah.
And I love that shit. I eat that shit up. That's the stuff I like seeing from Disney movies, which is why I didn't like Frozen. But we didn't get that.
I'm on the same page.
We didn't get that. I know that was a whole long roundabout way of making my point, but, like, I wanted to see Scar being Scar in this format, and yeah. I did not get that.
I mean, we got a whole Circle of Life. We got a whole Just Can't Wait to Be King. We got a whole Can You Feel the Love Tonight. They still have some of the, and, you know, Hakuna Matata, but they still have some of the same songs in there. I guess I'll disagree with you on the fact that, you know, you would have preferred it to be cut. I needed the whole song.
Well, no, I needed the whole song, too. I would rather have it completely cut and there be no song than to have, like, a third of a song that I wanted, that I needed all of.
Okay, I get it. It's
like having, Ha, Sabrina, I'm a beach, you my bar, next scene. Like, no. No, you don't start that and not end that shit.
Right.
And I feel like with Be Prepared, you don't start that and then just end that shit. But that's exactly what they did. And that's why it pissed me off.
Yes.
And so right there, because I care about villains and because I care about specifically this Disney villain doing this Disney thing, this is like my second favorite fucking Disney movie, I personally rank this at like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Still a good experience, but like that shit irked the fuck out of me. And with how I was already feeling with, like, the lions and the faces, that just, like, cemented the, yeah, this is worse than the original for me.
So, you know what actually irked me most out of everything in the entire movie?
Tell me.
Any scene with Rafiki in it started out like a Planet Earth episode.
But actually. But like, actually.
It's like 5 to 6 minutes of just bugs crawling up a tree. You cut Be Prepared, but you gave me 5 minutes of bugs crawling up a tree with no dialogue? I'm sorry.
Or like the scene where fucking Simba's hair,
yeah,
like, travels and all the things that it goes through to actually, like, that.
To
oh my god.
Get to Rafiki, and then he's like, Simba, I know what this guy smells like now. I don't know. I don't know, you guys.
It was a Planet Earth episode.
It really was. I was just waiting for David Attenborough to pop up in the back and just start narrating something.
And you see, this is how they climb up the tree, because they need to avoid the predators.
But really.
I'd say the part with the mouse right before it gets to Scar also felt very similar.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was different because, like, it was going to Scar. Like, the mouse served an actual purpose.
Well, I mean, the bugs technically served a purpose. It gets us to Rafiki, but...
I mean, I guess, but...
I don't know. They spent so much time on their CGI wondering if they could, that they didn't spend enough time wondering if they if should. They should.
Absolutely.
So
I want a director's cut of that movie with the actual Be Prepared.
Yes.
There was actually a thing I saw. I'm going to have to find it because there's no way that I'm going to be able to find it right now. When I was at dinner on Thursday, Juan shared this with me. But it was like, you know how right after they showed like Sonic's, like the from the Sonic movie, like Sonic's design.
Yeah.
There were like 50 million people who just like changed it slightly and it was fine.
Yeah.
There was like a group of pictures that were like screenshots from the movie that showed like if they just had more expressive faces and different colorations, how much better the movie would have been. And I was like, but actually though.
But really though.
But actually though. Why couldn't we just have those models?
Another thing that irked me, and it's just for plot purpose, is in the very end of the movie when they're having their big battle scene, Shinji goes up against Nala. Shinji should have gone up against Sarabi, okay? Should have been queen against queen. Yeah. And I get that they're saying, oh, Nala's going to be the new queen. No. Okay? Sarabi's been putting up with Scar shit the whole time. Okay?
No.
It should have been Sarabi versus Shinji. I will just beat that dead horse into the ground, guys.
Well, I wouldn't say the horse is dead yet. I mean, you're still riding that horse in the race.
Yeah.
That's a hot take.
I
agree, actually.
It's just, there's little things like that that I see in movies, and I'm like, why didn't you do that? It would have been so much better. Like, tangent-ish, but it makes sense. So, you know how big of a Harry Potter fan I am.
Right.
Do you know how big of a Dromione fan I am?
No.
The pairing between Draco and
Hermione. I know what Dromione is. Okay. I just didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
That you were
I'm a huge Dromione fan.
Why?
Because for the plot, it makes sense because Harry's parents, Lily and James was the bully and he had his little group of fiends that followed him around that used to pick on Severus and her all the time. And then they both became prefects together, just like Hermione and Draco did. And when they became prefects together, they started spending a lot of time together. And then she was like, oh, wow, he's not really such a bad guy. And then they got together and then James became less of a bully and just kind of got his stuff together. If they would have done the same thing with the younger generation, it would have given us a beautiful parallel. And then she just missed it. She missed that opportunity. So that's the same thing that I feel like in Lion King is you had a beautiful opportunity to pit queen against queen. And instead, you pitted Nala, who's just like, lions, assemble!
Lions, assemble! They're not the Avengers.
I mean...
But that's basically what she did, though.
Yeah.
Like, straight up lion rallying call. But I think, actually, the introduction of Shinji was actually super dope.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, she wasn't in the original movie. And I think that... Like, that added an additional layer to, like, the aspect of the hyenas. Because beforehand, they were literally just, like, fucking scavengers. Like,
yeah,
they're literally
dumb
nothing.
Scavengers.
Like, literally nothing. But in this one, it's very clear that they have a social hierarchy. And even they have, like, rules and operate in a certain few ways. Like, you actually see them doing shit like guarding.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right? So... I think that her introduction was fucking phenomenal as like a speaker for the hyenas.
Yes.
And I wish that they would have done more with her.
Yeah. I completely agree with that one.
Because she just kind of is there and speaks for the hyenas. That's really all that she does.
But she's still like that badass queen type.
Yeah, though. No, absolutely.
And Sarabi, when you actually get to know her and like get more time with her on screen, because you don't get that in The Lion King, the original. Now that they spend more time with Sarabi in this one, you get to see how badass of a queen she is. She is willing to starve rather than submit to Scar.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but she is BA.
Absolutely.
I like her.
Absolutely.
I like her a lot. And I also like the voice actor that played her. Was it Viola Davis?
I am unsure.
I gotta look that up now, but yeah, it was good.
So, to summarize... I think that like I said with the Aladdin remake, if you treat this like it's own movie, it's fine. But there was just enough there that I feel like it would have been as great, if not greater than the original, if a few specific choices were made differently. Like if they just had more expressive designs and faces, if they had a full Be Prepared, and if Beyonce talked less. I feel like it would have been a movie on par with the original, if not even greater.
So let's go through the cast really quick, because like I said, I like the cast, and I'm interested to know whether or not you thought, we're gonna play a little game, better or worse than the original cast.
Okay.
Donald Glover as Simba.
So Simba, throughout the course of the story, is never actually like a fully grown lion. He's like an actual cub, and then like a lion teenager slash young adult. And I feel like Donald Glover does a better job portraying Simba's youngness than the original voice actor did, because I feel like while his voice does still sound young, like there's not as much playfulness in his voice as his life up until now should show you that he has.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Donald Glover did a better job bringing that out of Simba as a character. And so I'm going to say that Donald Glover was better than the original.
Yes, I agree. I just really like his voice.
I agree.
I also think that he did a better job with the singing parts. I think that he took some liberties, especially in Hakuna Matata, and made it his own. And I thought that was really...
I absolutely adored that.
I loved it.
He's still going.
Yeah. Oh, he's still going. Oh, he's riffing now. Okay. Okay, we've already talked about Beyonce. I've already talked about Seth Rogen. Do you want to talk about Seth Rogen? Or are
we
going to skip?
Sure. We can talk about Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is Pumbaa.
So I don't think Seth Rogen does a bad Pumbaa. I think Seth Rogen does a modern Pumbaa.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
So it's very clear that like a lot of the jokes and other things from the original Lion King are a bit dated at this point in time. And so I feel like Seth Rogen does a good job of making Pumbaa still Pumbaa, but also like making his humor more relevant to a young today audience rather than a young 90s audience. So I don't think that... I kind of keep them separate. So I wouldn't say that any one is better. I guess technically I'm leaning toward the original being better because I think that was a better Pumbaa as a character. But I think that Seth Rogen was not a bad Pumbaa.
Strictly for the voice alone, I have to say he was a worse Pumbaa. I'm so upset by it. And I know I shouldn't be. Like, that's so superficial of me, but...
No, I mean, you're allowed to dislike what you dislike. I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
Okay. I am totally going to mess this name up, and I am so, so sorry for doing this. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
That was Scar, right?
Scar, yeah.
Yeah.
Ejiofor. God, I can't say it.
It's an African name.
Scar.
I don't think you should feel bad. So, the movie loses points for Be Prepared, but this Scar doesn't.
Yes.
This Scar was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
In every sense of everything that Scar does, this Scar was fan-fucking-tastic.
Yes, he was.
But, like, it's a different movie. So, like, the nature of his performance needed to be different than the nature of the other Scars. Because that Scar was a lot more expressive. So his voice didn't need to do as much work.
That's true.
As such, I'm going to say that the new... Like, I don't really like to... Unless I'm really feeling one way or another about him, I don't like to say that one is better. But for the sake of this argument, I'm going to say that new Scar has a much better voice performance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only because he had to.
That's true.
Which would have been even better if his character was as expressive. There would not be a question...
Yeah.
But because I feel like they have to be listed as different movies, I mean Scar's my favorite character in the movie, so I can't say that any of them are bad. But I still like the original Scar for that movie as well.
Okay. Billy Eichner is Timon.
My issues with Timon are superficial. I really liked him as Timon. I really like this version of Timon. Again, I feel like this is a modern Timon because, let's just be honest, Timon and Pumbaa are like the comic relief of this story. Because, again, it's a really fucking sad and depressing story. So we need somebody. We need a fucking Eddie Murphy Mushu to, like, lighten this shit up. So, in a general sense, I feel like they do a really... Because we can't really count Timon without Pumbaa. We can't really count Pumbaa without Timon.
That's true.
They're literally...
They're a pair.
...together as, like, a character. So, this... I'm going to give you my impression on Timon, and then I'm going to give you my impression on them as a group.
Okay.
So, I feel like I said before, I don't think that this Timon is better, so we're going to say that the old one is better than this one.
Okay.
But I think that's because this one... I feel like this one is just modern. Like, the jokes are very different. They land very different. The delivery is very different. And as such, it's not as... Well, I can't say it's not as entertaining, because if you're somebody else, it could be, like, literally drop dead laughing. So, I think that when it comes to delivery and performance, I'm going to say that the original and the pair were better. But I don't think that this pair, especially the pair together... are bad by any means. It's just that this is a different movie, so the jokes and the humor is also very different.
Yeah. All right, a couple more. We've got John Oliver as Zazu.
John Oliver does a good Zazu.
Yes, he does.
I... See, this one's actually the hardest, because I feel like this Zazu, out of all the characters in the movie, other than, I guess, maybe Rafiki... this is the character that I feel most closely resembles the original, with the exception of James Earl fucking Jones, because,
yes,
you know, that was actually Mufasa. So, like, fuck. I'd say they're about equal, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this Zazu is much funnier than the original Zazu.
For sure.
But that's a writing thing, not like a character thing.
Exactly.
So... like, John Oliver absolutely nails this Zazu.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. And I almost wish that the old Zazu had as much funnier shit to say.
Exactly. Because, I mean, as a voice actor, I think the original did a really good job, too. So, I mean, if he would have had a little bit of extra writing help. Okay. Keegan-Michael Key and Eric Andre as the duo of hyenas.
So we're never gonna replace fucking
Whoopi Goldberg
and the other two. Yeah. We're not. And I think that they did a fairly interesting and good job of making the others funny for a different reason.
Yeah, really, you're gonna lay here right here? Now you're just doing it on purpose.
So, like, that was great, but like you can't. That's like saying, if another movie has three little thing or four little things that like sing songs about what's going on, that they're better than the Muses. Like you can't beat the fucking Muses.
No.
You can't beat that original trio. Like, the reason why they're funny is because they're a trio in the way that they operate. So again, I think that this is, like I said before, a good modern take on that same idea.
Yeah.
But I don't think it can't be better than the original. Because
speaking of Muses. Have we heard anything about whether or not they're going to make a Hercules live action?
I really hope they don't.
Really?
I really hope they don't. I'm super mad that they're making a Mulan.
Okay. I'm mad about it only because it's no longer like the original Disney. Like, they're not having Mushu in it and there's no songs in it.
It's not Mulan. Not Mulan.
According to the producers, they're doing it out of respect to Chinese culture. Which I get, but I'd rather you not do it at all.
For real. if you can't give me Nazimania, then it's not fucking Lion King.
That would have been like doing that.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, literally taking the music out of this story stops making it a story. Like, there's a reason why people love this shit, and I would say a good half of that reason is literally the music. However, one thing that I didn't mention beforehand is that because this is a 3D movie and camera work for... I'm going to say camera work because you didn't really have cameras in animated movies of the past. But as cinematography as like an industry has like become much better, we now have much more expressive shot compositions mm-hmm. than we did before. And like the cinematography in this movie was god fucking amazing. Like it was fantastic. Like almost every shot was like intentional and all the other shit. Like there's a lot of like there's a lot of like anti-symmetry and like a bunch of other like shit that I'm not gonna talk about right now. But like the actual way that the camera portrayed shit in this movie was fucking godlike.
Yes.
And that's not something I can say for the original, because the original didn't really have that going for it.
Yeah.
None of the animated movies of the past had that going for it. So one thing that elevated the movie from the original, I would say, is the upgraded camera work.
Yeah.
Because goddamn, that shit was dope.
That was really, really good.
Continue.
Oh, no. The last one that I had on here was Alfre Woodard. I can't say her last name. My God. As Sarabi.
Well, now that we actually have Sarabi as a character.
Yeah.
Yes, she nailed that shit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think Sarabi talks, does she?
In the very first movie, she says that he's your son before dawn or something like that. In the very opening scene when he's like, Dad, wake up, the sun's up, let's go do stuff. And he's like, your son's calling. She's like, before sunrise, he's your son. And that's like the only...
That's like the only line she has in the entire movie?
No, because then she tells Simba to go get a bath at one point, oh. I think.
But so, like, she never actually talks.
Far between, yeah.
So, like, she never has any actual screen time then.
Yeah, not
is
really.
Is effectively what's happening. Okay. Okay.
So, she has a lot more screen time in this one. And Alfre Woodard did a really good job voicing her, too. Well, that's about all I got to say for the Lion King.
And, I mean, at this point, I've said my piece. But, like, I just... So, I feel this way about a lot of things in today's current... stuff. Like, I felt the same way about, like, Kingdom Hearts 3 when I first played it. Like, there are aspects of greatness all throughout this movie. And it feels like a few specific choices are holding it back from being one of the greatest movie experiences of all time.
Yeah.
And, like, I just don't understand why those choices were made. Like, yes, I understand why we needed... realistic looking lions. I get it. We're trying to make like a live action Disney movie here. But like, if this is gonna be all animated, why act like it's not animated?
Yeah.
Like there's no reason why you can't just get, like, even if you were just given them more expressive eyes, that would have been enough.
Anything, yeah.
But literally more than
just sit there.
Fucking lion face. Oh my god, it makes me so mad. So mad. And like, if you think back on it, because you saw Aladdin, right?
Yeah.
If you think back on it, the genie in the new Aladdin does not do very many, like, transform into things that aren't people.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're going with more realism, but I think especially given the way that, like, Will Smith sells it, even if Robin Williams was to be able to do it, bless his heart, I know he wishes he could. Well, I mean, I can't speak for him at this point.
Yeah, but it's Robin Williams. Yeah. He would have been all over that.
I absolutely believe he would have. But, I think that, like, they changed that as well. Like, because Robin Williams is a bit more zany as a person, and his version of funny is a bit more out there, that works for him.
Yeah.
But, like, Will Smith is a bit more, like, responsive, reactionary, like playing off of another character kind of funny.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I'm just gonna do a bunch of things and like, I'm Robin Williams, so I'm funny regardless. So like, I don't think he ever really transforms into something that doesn't at the very least have like a face or like human like torso.
Yeah.
But like, that works. So like, I'm fine with them changing aspects of a thing as long as it makes sense within the context.
Yeah.
That's why I brought that up. Was that like, I would have preferred, like, zany Robin Williams genie, but obviously that's not an option.
Yeah.
So, and I still feel like William Smith.
William Smith.
I still feel like...
So William.
I still feel like Will Smith is an a really good example of taking a beloved character that was made iconic by a person and changing it enough so that it is its own character outside of that. And I feel like Will Smith nailed that shit wonderfully.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, I understand why they changed the genie in the ways that they did, because it's literally a different character.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with them changing aspects of this movie, like the addition of whatever fucking queen of the... I forget her name. Shinji.
Yeah.
Like, the addition of Shinji, I think it's fucking phenomenal. Like, the comic relief hyenas being a duo instead of a trio with like a specific funny shtick, that's fine with me. Then the updated like versions of Hakuna Matata and like Timon and Pumbaa's jokes, totally fine with. I just want them to express. Like, I
need the face, man.
Yes, like so much of what a person does with another person is in their body language, and most importantly in their facial expressions. And that's why Beyonce is a fantastic performer, because you can see her face and you can see her body, but when she's just talking, she sounds like she's talking, not acting.
That's true.
So like, ah, like, why would you?
Because it's Beyonce, why else?
So
please don't be mad at us, Beehive.
And I, to be honest, I don't think we've said anything like hurtful or derogatory. So I'm pretty comfortable that like they're not gonna come murder us in our sleep. But like I think that it's a fair assessment to say that she sings a lot better than she talks.
Yeah.
Like, she's a performer. I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
So I just, like, that's what bothers me. Like, not that I didn't enjoy the movie, but that it was so close to being so much better than it was. And it was already really good. So, like, what if we just, like, went back in time and just, like, when people threw out that shit in the executive meeting, I was just like, how about we just not?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be in that room and be like, no.
No.
We're not going
put
to do that.
Put your hand down. No. You go take a nap.
Like, that's what I want. I want to be able to switch a few things. Very small things that make a very big impact.
Yeah.
And the movie would be so great.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the original Lion King was a fucking marvel when it happened. Like, no one had ever seen animated lions that looked that real before. Like, literally, they modeled most of those, like, things with actual fucking lions. Like, that's the reason why it looks so fucking good.
They did a really good job.
Yeah, but even then, they're still fucking expressive. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody does any fucking zany shit, with the exception of the background animals in fucking, I Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah.
But, like, that's actually it. Most of the things that happen, with, like, very small exceptions, like fucking green evil smoke with Scar and, like, random Pride Land being on fire, because I don't really remember if there was a reason why the Pride Lands were on fire. I just know that the Pride Lands were on fire in the final battle.
I don't remember in the beginning, in the first movie, whether or not anything happened to that. I know in this one, lightning struck, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure, honestly. Lightning struck.
Okay. That can be fine. I just know that there's fire.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. But, like, all that was grounded in realism. Like, I can see a lion doing all the things that the characters in the original Lion King did. And that's great. That's fine. We're done. Like, I don't need you to give me, like, unrealistic nonsense. I understand why you're straying away from that in this current iteration of Disney stuff, because it's, like, live action or whatever. But why take away good acting? Especially when it's animated. Like, literally, that's something you have absolute control over.
Yeah.
So, why was that choice made?
I don't know, Yeshua. I don't know.
Which, in any situation, like, in my mind, makes it even worse. Because if you could have done that, why did you not?
Once again, they took too much time wondering if they could, that they didn't take enough time wondering if they should.
Yes. And you know what? I feel like that's a good place to end this discussion, because otherwise I'm just gonna sit here and reiterate how much I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Oh. Oh. That hurts.
Because, like I mean, like I said, it could have been so much greater than it was.
Yeah.
And it was already pretty fucking great. Mm-hmm. So, those are my hot takes.
Hot takes.
About the current Lion King situation. Let us know what you think in the comments. I'm really interested to see what you guys thought about the movie, or if your thoughts about the movie have changed now that you've heard ours. And I was going to say like and subscribe, but just in the YouTube
video. Yeah, do that. Do you want to take a real quick minute to talk about YouTube? Or should we do that next episode?
I feel like next episode should be a mini-sode about the goings-on of the channel.
Okay, so tune in next week, guys, and we will update you on everything Let's Play Tonight-ish. But for now, I'm Megan.
I'm Josh. And we'll see you on next week.
Next week.
Bye-bye. Nas Venya! Gonna beat you, my bye! Zimbabwe.